The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie and Kent. Robot building supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Let's bring it on. Round one starts tonight, and we're going to talk about the games and all things footy with Jordan Lewis, who's been good enough to join me, a new addition to the SEN team, and it's great to have him on board for the season. If you'd like to join us, 1300 736 736 is the number. The open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. Drop down to Werribee Kia and see Jim and Janan and the team down there. Aid, they'd love your company. Drop down there, 1300 736 736. If you're in the market for a new car, they've got plenty of Sportages down there at Werribee Kia. They've got the new Seltos range as well. So tell Janan we sent you, and he'll look after you big time, as will all the sales staff at Werribee Kia. That number, 1300 736 736. And if you'd like to join us on the speckled text, and boy, have we had the speckled text exploding again today, that speckled text number, 0433 98 11 16. Jordan Lewis in the studio for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Smooth, delicious McCafe coffee, barista made with care. Welcome to you, Jordan. Great to have you on the program.
G'day, Dwayne. I'm still trying to find you in here, but they tell me you're on the couch.
I am with the dog of me and Hugo. I think they've SEN's put a picture of Hugo out there. So, yeah, I've got a live studio audience at the moment, which is nice to have.
Well, you wouldn't be too unhappy with that.
No,
in the comforts
exactly.
Of your own home.
That's right, exactly. I haven't got the slippers on. I've got the Celtic shorts on today after wearing the 76ers shorts yesterday. Are you happy to have footy back? Not everybody is. I am. I had a tear in my eye last night when Gil told us that footy was happening. To be honest, as I said earlier, I know too many people, fans and people like me who live and breathe footy, that would have had their hearts ripped out if footy wasn't being played. I know there's bigger picture in the world that we need to consider, but yeah, personally, I'm pretty happy that footy's happening. Where are you at? What did you do last night when Gil announced it?
Yeah, I'm along the same lines as you, Dwayne. I was actually in at AFL 360. We were waiting to go on air when Gil came and did his press conference, about 7:45, I think. So all of us in there were still very unsure about the way that it was going to go. And they had a meeting yesterday that lasted into the evening. And you've got to back their decision in, I suppose. Whether to play or not is not up to us to decide whether that's the right or wrong decision. They've decided to play, so it's up to us to provide information and content on the games that proceed this weekend. And personally, I can't wait to get home tonight and sit on the couch and watch a game of football. To see how it all unfolds, it's been unique circumstances, not only in our game, but certainly the rest of the world that we're playing this game under. And you've got to back their decision in. They've obviously consultated with the medical professions at government and state level, and they've probably taken everything into consideration, and they've felt that it's probably safe to go ahead with this weekend. Next weekend, we don't necessarily know what will happen, but I'm glad it's back this weekend.
How do you think the 16 minutes plus time on quarters will change the game? How do you think coaches will approach it? Because if coaches go 100% defence lockdown, then we'll get a bigger opportunity for them to stifle the game. But if the coaches actually coach the way that we'd like them to coach, and that is with a belief that they need to show some responsibility and coach it for some sort of attractive level of football to be broadcast, then it might open it up. How do you think it's going to evolve this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. When it was announced last night, I try and put myself in the shoes of either a coach or a player, and I think the 16 minutes with time on provides a good balance. I think if it was a normal game, there's time within quarters that the players are obviously fatigued, so clubs and coaches try and shut the game down so they can preserve energy. But I think 16 plus time on provides that balance where you can really seriously attack for at least half a quarter, and then maybe within the second half of the quarter you can slow it down. 16 minutes doesn't sound like much with time on, but there's still a hell of a lot of time within a quarter to actually establish a really good dominant position. But it's unknown. I mean, we go into pre-season and pre-season games sometimes are around that 16 minutes with time on, and it's over before you know it. So I would think the earlier games, especially early in quarters, will hopefully see more of an attacking style of football. And that's the exciting thing, I suppose, switching on to tonight. You just, how will different coaches approach it? Because there's a big advantage to be gained.
And each game's worth a little bit more now. 17-game season, so five games less, means that there is a bit more importance on winning round one, whereas once upon a time, you know, we often sat back and said, oh, well, round one, it's not that important to get your players up for it. There's always another 21 games. But that's not the case this year.
Well, you're right. I think Richmond had that approach last year where they thought that the previous year they actually peaked a little bit too early. So sides who don't necessarily have a high focus on starting the season well, more so we want to finish the season playing our best football. That is certainly changed around. There is no game that you can let slip. So those, the mental application to round one this year has certainly been heightened for those sides who are regular contenders come late September, October. It is a funny dynamic, especially with, and I was also thinking, with the shortened quarters, does it provide younger sides with more of a chance to remain in games? Because we see with these younger sides, they do get affected by fatigue later in games, and as the season rolls on, they are also affected by... So does that even out the field a little bit? But I've always been not outspoken about it, but I've always loved the 17-game season. You get to play each other once, so every single game has something that's on the line. Now, there is an advantage if you play West Coast over there, you know, let's say Melbourne this weekend, you play West Coast over there. So next year you play them at home. So it evens itself out over a period of 2 or 3 years. But I quite like to play each other once and just everything's on the line for that game.
So do you think either of those new guidelines, do you think a 17-game season and a longer final series, which I don't think will be the go in 2021, but I think the 16-minute quarters plus time on might continue forward. Which of these two, and if you think both, then say both, do you think we'll see in 2021 if they work really well in 2020?
I think certainly the 17 games a season, I think, has some real merit. I quite like, and once again, from a play point of view, you understand that you've got one chance to beat this side. There's no, Oh, we'll get them later in the year. This is your only chance. So the stakes are heightened in that sense. I don't mind, from a play point of view, I was always about the longer the game, it didn't really worry me. Not that I'm an anaerobic beast, but I just enjoyed playing football. So a 16-minute quarter with a bit of time on means it's, you know, 20, let's call it 21 minutes. The game is over before you know it. And I just wanted to keep continuing playing. So the longer the quarter, the better. Certainly from a spectacle point of view and a spectator point of view, shortened quarters hopefully provides more scoring, more aggressive play, not necessarily a chance to shut the game down. So there is a conversation based around the shortened quarters, whether it's 16 or whether it's, you know, 18. I think that has some merit also.
And do you think the shorter season, 17-game season, well, it might be 17 games spread over 30 weeks. We don't know how it's going to unfold yet. But do you think it'll help young players who don't seem to have 22 games plus finals in them because they do fatigue at the age of 18, 19? Or do you think it's going to help guys at your end of the spectrum, the Gary Ablett Jr. end of the spectrum?
It'll help both. I think the shortened turnaround is what we're hearing if they're trying to cram games in really quickly before something might pop up and the season is suspended. I think that period will help younger players and not necessarily older players. Older players take longer from game to game to get recovered and, you know, from the knocks and the bruises, whereas a younger type of player can back it up within a couple of days. So I think that will impact more the older players and be beneficial to the younger players. The 17-game season, I've got no doubt, and there's no data that I have in front of me, that it will help players prolong their career. There is no doubt about that. What the finals looks like, I don't know what the right answer is, but if it's a 17-game season, I would like to see a wild card or something that keeps teams who may not necessarily have made finals in previous years still in contention that can potentially get a finals game to the younger players.
Down to 10th or down to 12th, do you think?
Oh, I think 10th. I think, yeah, there certainly has to be a cutoff. I think from 10th to 18th, there's not necessarily a side that could really contend. Certainly yep. The sides that just, I mean, you look at last year, Hawthorn, I think it might have been Port Adelaide, that just fell out of the finals.
They were a game out of the eight last year, Port Adelaide.
They could potentially come into finals and make a real impact. So they're probably the sides that you say, well, maybe there's a wild card option for them.
And will you stay fit? Are you a chance to give us a nine-game season if that's opened up mid-year?
Well, it's funny. I was asked that last night, and I worked with Melbourne in the preseason, and I didn't. I did some running, but not necessarily game type running, which is the thing that the teams do all preseason. And I was quickly reminded of why I retired and how far off you are. So I think teams are better off to go to either VFL lists or local competition who players they think can potentially play, rather than retired players who might have enjoyed a few quiet ones over the summer period.
So you're not heading home to go for a jog by the sounds of things?
No, and funnily enough, I've got three young kids, Dwayne, and my Apple Watch is linked with some of the players, and they thought I was doing pre-season running sessions by myself, where in fact I was just chasing after the boys. So I have done the Ks, but not necessarily the right running to play.
Jordan Lewis in the studio for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Smooth, delicious McCafe coffee, barista made with care. Take a few of your calls after the break. Jordan Lewis sticking around to talk about the games themselves. Spiros in Carnegie coming to you. Dom in Burwood coming to you as well. The NBL, by the way, for NBL fans, will hold a press conference at 3 o'clock today to tell us whether the championship title will be handed to the Wildcats, which I think it should be, or whether the championship is going to be not decided and have an asterisk and have this season without a winner of the NBL season. I said my piece on this a couple of days ago. I think with the Perth Wildcats being 2-1 up in the best of five series, that's good enough for me. I've seen them win two games away against the Kings in Sydney. I reckon if the Kings were 2-0 up in the best of five, they'd believe it should have been theirs, handed to them if it was shut down and they were 2-0 up. To me, 2-1 up is good enough. But we'll find out whether Larry Kesselman, the commissioner of the NBL, has made that decision in the Wildcats' favour or not a little bit later on in the show. In fact, if you know what the decision is, if you've got some inside info, give us a buzz. 1-300-736-736. Spiros coming to you. Dom coming to you. 1-300-736-736. Jordan Lewis with me on Dwayne's World.
You'd think it would be more ballistic from a scoring point of view. Teams will, the rotations stay the same, but because of the minutes, you get a few extra rotations. I think the game it'll increase scoring a little bit, but I think clubs will have to be creative whether, does the game stop and when does it stop, and then, the back end of the season, how does it look, and rotating players and keeping fresh players up and about. It's going to be a new look, and, through sort of this crisis and what's coming with the coronavirus, I think it might allow us to have a look at the game in a different way, and this might really shape our game going forward. Is the games going to be shorter? Do we need to play the 22 weeks? I think some of the questions that the AFL have always thought that they might be able to trial some of the things and see what it looks like.
That's the voice of Brett Ratton talking about the fact that the shorter quarters might lead to a more ballistic, more scoring kind of game. That's if the coaches coach to have that happen. And Alistair Clarkson alerted SEM Breakfast with Gary and Tim to that point a couple of weeks ago about the fact that the coaches have been coaching for defence so much, and he's been one of them, that have changed the game in the wrong direction. Hopefully the coaches that are coaching tonight and across the weekend might start coaching it back in the right direction. Jordan Lewis with me in the studio for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Need a delicious barista-made coffee? McCafe has got you covered, and they're open 24/7. A couple of your calls with Jordan Lewis and I. Firstly, Dom in Burwood. Welcome to you, Dom.
Good day, Dwayne. Yeah, look, 17 games is never going to happen. The players don't want it. The AFL doesn't want it. Supporters don't want it. But just on the other thing, I really like...
So hang on, Dom, just on that point, do you think that next season, given that we're going to have 45 less games and 5 less rounds worth of 9 games this season, do you think if we can, does 2021 have more games in it? Do we try and make it up next year for the broadcaster and have 5 more rounds or 4 more rounds next season?
Just go back to what we normally have. It works fine. People love it.
Just asking the question. Just asking the question, Dom.
Yeah. Now, and I think just keep it as it normally been. I think it just works really well. People love footy. Just on the other thing, I really like the 16 minutes. It's going to be interesting. I mean, we always talk about 120 minutes of footy, so if we play 16 to 17, it'll get back to 120 minutes. And because we're going to have 150-odd games, it's going to be a really good chance to see how it works, whether it's more scoring, better. And just one for Jordan. with then no supporters and being at the games, you, as a player, what impact do you think it'll have as on players? Because imagine when you played, some players really got, you know, with the crowd, build them up a bit, and with the teams. How hard do you think it'll be for players to adjust to no noise?
Well, I know certainly the Melbourne players that are going over to West Coast are happy with the no crowd rule over there. But, I mean, it is the greatest thing about our game. And I always used to do it. Whenever you used to drive to a big game, I always used to drive, say it was the MCG, around the MCG to see the crowd piling in. And you get to a game, you get to Adelaide Oval early, and the crowd are there. You can hear the murmurings. So those experiences aren't there anymore. So what the clubs and players would have spoken about, how can we generate that ourselves? You know, how can we generate that, you know, that atmosphere? And it's hard. It really is. And I was even speaking to someone today. They said they should get the most vocal supporter from each team and sit one at one end and one at the other. And then at least the cameras have got someone to flash to, but at least the players can hear some sort of cheering.
So you're advocating for Joffa to get allowed in for Collingwood?
Joffa at one end and the Western Bulldogs person at the other end.
Right, okay, I like it. Thanks, Dom. Spiros in Carnegie. Welcome, Spiros.
Dwayne, Jordan, how are you?
Good, Spiros.
Look, I think Brett Ratton stole my thunder a little bit. Going on what they've always talked about in the past about the player safety and welfare and shortening everything, you know, the games and the amount of players and the times. Do you honestly think this could be a blueprint or not for the future?
Jordan?
I don't know. I think there's so many unknowns that are happening right now. And I think we can't lose the fabric of our game. And there's things in our game that I love. And one is the number of rounds that play per season, because it is war of attrition. You've got to manage a list throughout the year. You've got to get players up when they might not necessarily get up. You've got to time your run. There's so many little things that go along with playing a season in 22 rounds. I don't know. I think what it provides us with, and it'll always be the season that is just unknown, but it provides us with an opportunity to see things that we might not necessarily have got to see.
Do you think if the broadcaster wants it and the AFL can get some revenue back that we'll have a longer season next season, that we'll have more games next season to make up for the shortfall this season?
Well, I think so. I mean, I'm a footy lover. So the more games, the better. If it ran, I mean, you think of NBA, I think
What have we played everybody twice next year or the year after, as a bit of a make-up?
Well, I think that if you want a fair season, you play one game at home, one game away, every single side. Now, that is clearly too many games, but that for me, would be the perfect balance. I just think, you know, history suggests that it's a 22 or 23-round series with finals to follow that. So let's not... I don't think we should go drastically away from that.
Jordan Lewis with me. You can get us on the Speckled Text as well. Quite a few coming through on the Speckled Text, especially about the NBL announcement that's not far away. Quite a few coming through in their support of the Sydney Kings getting the title. The Perth Wildcats getting the title. One here, the Sydney Kings choked and they were gifted the game against United. There's a bit of that coming through as well. More from Jordan Lewis. We'll play a little bit of what happens next after the break as well. But we'll get Jordan Lewis's tips for the round ahead straight after a little break. And we'll listen to Little Birdie, a unique look into sport and race betting tonight on 8 p.m. That's at 8 p.m. tonight on SEN Plus and on the 11:16 SEN after the footy as well. So you can get Little Birdie tonight for a unique look at your sport and racing betting. That's tonight, 8 p.m. on SEN Plus and on 11:16 SEN after the footy tonight, if you want to check that out in anticipation of a big weekend. You're with Dwayne's World. Great to have you with us. Jordan Lewis with me as well. Play a little bit of what happens next in a few minutes' time, but let's talk to Jordan about the games coming up individually. And Brad and Clyde's been waiting for a while. You want to talk Gill's leadership. Welcome to you, Brad.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, Brad.
Yeah, it's good. Look, first of all, a couple of quick things. Great leadership from Gill for the AFL and for Australia. I reckon there was a definite change in climate around town today. A bit more positivity than negativity, which was great. And what a spectacle this could be for the AFL to take advantage of. here's an idea for you, boys. Select, how about we sell the rights to the USA so that they can watch the sport on TV and use this to grow the game and grow some revenue? And why not sell the seating and cover it with sponsorship signage? Your thought, boys?
I like it, Brad.
Port Adelaide did that.
Oh,
Port
sorry, Dwayne.
Yeah, yeah, Port Adelaide did that with the covers on the seats.
They did. I mean, just on Gill's leadership, I think he's been fantastic. And, you know, certainly from the club's point of view, they're certainly happy with what he's provided. I mean, it is such a difficult time. And, you know, their meeting yesterday, as Eddie was saying last night, it was on a knife's edge on several occasions that they were playing, they weren't playing, then they came back and they were playing, and eventually they've gone and said, we'll play. So I think he's been outstanding in this situation.
I agree. Gil was brilliant. Eddie was brilliant too, by the way. The way he spoke as well, as a leader of the community in many respects, he is. Eddie and, you know, Scott Morrison was pretty damn good as well, it must be said. Okay, tonight, who wins, Jordan? Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it.
Oh, for me, I can't see Richmond losing this game.
Yep.
It provides some viewing. I mean, Jack Martin comes down from Gold Coast and plays his first game in the blue. And you know, we're all interested to see how he goes, which will be great. But I just can't see Richmond losing. They are just such a quality side, and you know, it just seems like they're just getting better and better.
Dogs and Collingwood, tougher one to pick tomorrow night.
There's a few games that are 50-50, I think, this weekend. And I think they'll win just. I'm doing this game for SEN tomorrow night, so it'll be great to go along and have a look. But for me, it could go either way. I'm just selecting Bulldogs for no other reason than my sun barracks for them, unfortunately.
Your glass half full about Essendon this season, or glass half empty against Fremantle?
Oh, I think they can win. I don't think Fremantle will be one of the sides that challenge this year, so that is in Essendon's favour. I don't think Essendon will challenge late in the year either, but I think they should take care of Fremantle over here.
Adelaide Crows and Sydney, I can't see either of them playing finals, but I can see Adelaide winning this one and, you know, having a 9-win season, something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Adelaide win this game, certainly without Lance Franklin and Sydney colours. That would change my tip. Adelaide haven't been super impressive to me over the Marsh series, but we know not to look too far into that. But I see them winning this game, but certainly I don't expect them to feature if and when the finals come around.
Giants and Geelong, Giants hosting Geelong.
Another one that is unknown. How will Giants bounce back after last year's grand final defeat? You know, Tom Green comes into the side. What we've seen from him in a short period of time, he looks to be, you know, a 10 to 15-year player for them, a really good addition. And, you know, how will Geelong face this season? They've had good home and away seasons, but certainly failed to probably play well late in the season. But GWS, for me, are one of the picks of the year, and I expect them to be up there when the whips are cracking.
Gold Coast against Port without Charlie Dixon. Gold Coast have had a good preseason.
Well, I stupidly put my tips in before I realised that Charlie Dixon was out, so I know now to wait a little bit, but that nearly changes my tip. From what I've seen when Port Adelaide played Western Bulldogs in the Marsh series, I think they were really clinical and they were very good. And the two games that Gold Coast have put up have been impressive as well. So this is a really good game. I'm really excited to watch this. I'm going to go Gold Coast just for something different, Dwayne.
Mm. North and St Kilda.
I think another one. It seems like I'm on the edge. I'm on the fence of a lot of these games. I think I'll go St Kilda. Yeah, I just think from what we've seen over the Marsh series, I think they just look like they're a little bit ahead of North Melbourne at this stage.
Hawthorne, Brisbane, MCG.
Yeah, Brisbane for mine. Although Brisbane haven't had a great record at the MCG, and they've usually played Hawthorne down in Tasmania, so that isn't the case. And I mean, they've got a young list with a little bit of experience. I just reckon they've got that really good balance. And Grant Birchall comes into the side and hopefully plays well.
And West Coast and Melbourne. Melbourne travelling over to play West Coast.
Well, they have a huge opportunity to go over there and play West Coast, which has been quite an intimidating oval to play at with their crowds, with no crowds. So they go over very optimistic. But in saying that, West Coast have added Tim Kelly to their list, which, you know, he's an A-grade midfielder of the competition, and I can't see them getting over West Coast over there.
Now, we need your crystal ball predictions for the greatest luxury adventures on earth at Abercrombie and Kent. I'll give you my crystal ball prediction for Abercrombie and Kent. I'll predict a Max King 6-goal debut for the Saints. How about that? It's out there. It might be a bit radical, but I'd love to see him kick a bag. Let's hope for 4 or 5, and at the extreme end, let's hope he tops the goal kicking at the end of the round. Give us a crystal ball prediction for Abercrombie and Kent.
Well, I think Tim Kelly for West Coast Eagles, 35-2.
All right.
Is how he's going to start off his West Coast Eagles career.
Love your work, Jordan. Look forward to working with you across the weekend and working with you on this program all year. Been great to have you in, and some very good points made by you today, and quite a few praising how good and level-headed you've been on the text as well. Thanks for your time.
Good stuff, Dwayne. Have a good weekend.
Jordan Lewis with his crystal ball prediction for Abercrombie and Kent, the greatest luxury adventures on earth. What happens next time? 1-300-736-736. Thanks to National Tiles. Online only. Afterpay Day is on now. What happens next? Straight after the break, we can jump on the line now. 1-300-736-736 if you'd like to win.